Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:15. I'd love to know the thought process behind picking the music, but who knows? It'll be a mystery forever. Highs today is 75. Right now it's 59. Causeway one way in each direction, as I understand it, with the fog. And really throughout the week, a lot of clouds yesterday, a little bit of a drizzle in Belchase, but no rain really forecast. Highs of 7, and really, I can't even say a drizzle. It was more of a mist. 75 today for a high, and mid-70s to upper 70s all the way through Sunday. So perfect weather for the Super Bowl for everybody that's visiting from frigid Kansas City and Philadelphia. If you know them and they're coming, tell them to leave their heavy clothes at home. Don't take up the space in the suitcase. Leave it for souvenirs on the way back. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, to talk about the latest on President Trump and what he's up to. Morning, Professor. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
I was supposed to be on Indianapolis TV yesterday, and I was just wondering if you saw any of it or if you were able to see my ugly face on TV in Indianapolis yesterday.
I didn't happen to catch that, but I'm definitely going to check it out online.
Because the reporter was cracking wise, saying, do you think you guys will be able to keep the lights on this time? And I said, do you remember that? And I said, yeah, I remember that. What I remember more vividly is Tracy Porter picking Peyton Manning to win the Super Bowl, but that's another story. Let's talk about President Trump and what he's been up to as of late. We'll start with cabinet choices. I find the Bill Cassidy thing interesting because I got to believe what I know of Bill Cassidy. He does not approve of RFK being the director of, what is it, Cabinet Health, Human, and Resources? What's the department?
Right.
Health and Human Services. But he voted for his confirmation. I got to believe that's in an attempt to crawl back to Donald Trump, but I think that ship has sailed when he voted to impeach him. So I just don't understand what Bill Cassidy's doing there, because if I were to be his friend and advise him, I'd say, Bill, you know what? The election's over. You're not going to win that. You may as well save your dignity and your credibility as a physician and vote no. What do you think is going on there?
I mean, I agree. It has to be a political calculation that you're going to be able to accomplish more for yourself and the things you want to do in office if you're, you know, kind of return to the good graces of the Trump administration. And I think there is a, even, you know, voting for him for impeachment, that it'll be a big strike against him. But Trump has shown, you know, if you are sufficiently willing to, you know, kiss the ring, you will be brought back into the fold.
But brought back into the fold, but if you're running against somebody, you being primaried in essence, I don't see, do you think that Fleming would drop out of the race? I don't see it going that far, do you?
I mean, not likely, but what can happen is the support for the opposition in the primary can be, you know, significantly curtailed in this way. You know, and also he has to be able to consideration with the voters is that, you know, he doesn't want to be seen as anti-Trump and showing that you can go along sometimes when you feel like you need to. That can also win you votes.
What is going on else with what else is going on with Trump's cabinet nominees? I know Kristi Noem has been here for the Super Bowl. She's done and through the process. What about the other cabinet positions? Where do they stand?
Well, the big one last night, Pam Bondi was confirmed as Attorney General. So that was one of the controversial ones. She wins 54-46, which means she got one Democrat, Fetterman, voted for her. Then the big ones, of course, are the RFK and Gabbard, which are the controversial ones. Obviously, they both, over the last yesterday, went through the committee votes very close. When you have a vote on committee, that's a strong signal that you're going to be voted, by the entire Senate and confirmed. So we would bet that RFK and Gabbard are both going to end up being confirmed. Last I saw is Grassley, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, said he'll move with Keshe Patel, the FBI director nominee, next week. So those are the last of the big controversial ones. Everyone else would mean it's just really just waiting, their turn for a vote.
President Trump this time, completely different than President Trump last time with the speed at which he's moving, right?
Right, yeah. This has been strong, with the Republicans in the Senate have moved really quickly. So if you think about in comparison to Biden at the 35, day mark, which was the end of February, he had only confirmed, eight of the cabinet secretaries he had. Trump's already at and passed that, at that point, and is almost certainly going to pass it by the end of this month. So it's moving much faster than Biden, but even faster than he did his first term. So this has been strong work on the part of the Republicans within the Senate to move these nominees through quickly.
For when we come back, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what the president said about Gaza and where that could lead. And we'll also talk about the importance of the midterms coming up for people that are either delighted with what the president is doing and want to make sure that it stays that way, or are horrified at what he's doing and want to see that it goes back the other way. 621, Aaron Dusso is our guest, our professor of political science, our friend from Indiana University, Indianapolis, 621. We're on Radio Row here at the New Orleans Convention Center. Back in a flash, traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, live from Media Row here at the Host Committee's Media Center, celebrating Big Game Week, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and So-So. As a matter of fact, Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, is in the Treasure Chest virtual power seat. So, Professor, when it comes to his remarks with, the Israeli Prime Minister was in town, and he mentioned something about Gaza. For people that have been all caught up in Super Bowl, tell them what the president said that he plans on doing with Gaza.
What the president said yesterday and has intimated before is that it would be the systematic removal of Gazan residents, in particular Muslims, and into other countries, and in the hopes that he could turn Gaza Strip into some type of Trump resort. Importantly, this is what I just said is ethnic cleansing, and is traditionally understood to be a human rights violation and a crime against humanity.
I don't see where that's going to settle things down in the Middle East at all. If you're going to say basically he's going to give Gaza to Israel, or the United States is going to annex it and make it a resort, a beautiful Riviera type resort or something, is what he said.
Right. Yeah. This has become this U.S. property of some sort. This is something that we've not talked about. Basically post World War II, where the United States to basically take large parts of lands from around the world as their own, and then essentially establish some type of life there. So it's difficult to figure out what is actually going to happen because we don't have a lot of modern equivalents to this.
What does the Constitution say about presidential powers, and what would be involved legally? Because the president can't just say, I want it, I'm going to take it, this is the United States, can he?
Well, right. I mean, obviously the Congress is going to have to be involved. I mean, what we've seen over the last 2 weeks is so many things that have happened, which, historically and constitutionally would need to have congressional approval. The issue is that it seems to me, if I was going to sum up the Trump administration, their method is that we're going to can do anything until somebody stops us. And so the question is, will courts, ultimately this thing ends up in courts, and this could end up in international courts, as the United States tends to not follow international court proceedings. And so the concern here is, will Congress actually do something? Congress has always had the collective action problem in that they, in order to do something, they have to work together. And that's made Congress weak in a lot of ways. And so Congress has never faced an administration like the Trump administration that is going to push as hard as possible on every angle, and it's not clear what Congress is going to be able to do to stop him.
Somebody texted in and said, Tommy, I think that's a joke. I don't think it is. Do you think he was joking?
No.
Trump?
No, I do not think he was joking, because this isn't the first time it's been mentioned. He's even used the word cleanse. You know, cleanse, there's some certain buzzwords in the, you know, the human rights world, and that is a buzzword that is that's a bad, bad buzzword. That was something that the United States has not been a part of, and, you know, certainly in a long, long time. And the times in our history when we have been a part of it are horrible times that we wish we could forget, and in some places we ban, because we're so ashamed of what they are, such as removing, you know, Native Americans from their lands. That is something that's just not a good part of our history, and we should not, you know, be willing to accept it.
And with that being said, midterms coming up, for those that favor what the president's doing, the midterms would be a chance for the country to reinforce that. For those that don't like what he's doing, that would be a chance for the country to express their displeasure. And historically, the pendulum kind of swings widely, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, the expectation historically is that in the midterms that Democrats should get control of the House at a minimum. There's still a favorable map for Republicans, so Democrats would have to kind of win a couple of surprises in order to control the Senate. But at least with the House, that would, you know, it poses some kind of a problem, but it doesn't pose as big a problem if you don't control the Senate, because a lot of this international treaties and that would have to occur to take over Gaza would have to go through the Senate. And if the Senate is still Republican-controlled, then seemingly, Republicans could rubber stamp that.
All right. Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science, Indiana University, Indianapolis. We're going to stay local. We'll come back, talk to Mark Romig, our friend, Chief Marketing Officer for New Orleans and Company, about the Super Bowl experience and everything coming up with the Super Bowl game on its way Sunday. Here right now, time for WWL First News.